being that our class is a shiur on Hilchos Shabbos, and although we're supposed to be going through the Malachos of Shabbos, I thought that maybe because this week is Rosh Hashanah, we should have an opportunity to talk about a little bit of the interplay between Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. As we know, this year, we're going to have Rosh Hashanah falling out on Shabbos on Sunday, and there are a couple of things to be aware of. Number one, and most obviously, of course, on Rosh Hashanah, Shechalios B'Shabbos, we do not blow the shofar. And maybe we'll get into that a little bit later if we have some extra time. But something that is far less famous is the idea of asking for bakashos, is asking for personal trinos, or asking for anything on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov. And that's really what I want to discuss today, because it's very relevant to Rosh Hashanah this year as it falls out on a Shabbos. So let us begin with this whole concept. Where does it come from that one is not supposed to make personal bakashos, that one is not supposed to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things on Shabbos? Where does that idea stem from? And how does it play into Rosh Hashanah, Shechalios V'Shabbos? A very important topic, a very interesting sugya. I'm sorry I did not have a chance to make Mar Makomos for everybody, but you'll trust me that what I'm quoting is actually there. So we begin with the Gemara in Maseches Tainus, where the Gemara there, on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, is talking about what happens when you have a city that is confronting some kind of major crisis, some kind of major issue. How are they supposed to respond? So the Gemara says, in that particular discussion, we're talking about where a city doesn't have rain. So what are you supposed to do? So the Gemara gives us a whole list of things that you should do. So you should have people in the town should fast, and they should add extra tefillos, and they go out into the town square, and they make a whole big deal. And there are ways that the Gemara discusses of how we're supposed to try to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu have rachmanus on us when we're going through a very difficult situation, a very difficult time in our individual lives or in the community life as a whole. Says the Gemara there, in the Mishnah actually, the Tanoim have a discussion about the following. Al Elu Masriyim B'Shabbos. The following issues that come up in a town, you're even allowed to make a big to-do on Shabbos. Meaning everything that's discussed in the Gemara is about Monday, Thursday, Monday, Sheni V'Chamishi V'Sheni, how many times should we do it, how many times should people fast, what tefillos should they add. But here the Gemara is discussing whether on Shabbos you'd be allowed to do something to try and offer a tefillah or to try to offer a bakasha for an issue that comes up on Shabbos. Al ir shehi kifua gayas. That means if you have a city that is now surrounded by some kind of enemy and people are afraid for their lives, very legitimately, they should be afraid for their lives, says the Gemara. For that, you would be allowed to deal with it even on Shabbos itself. Number two, says the Gemara, al sfina hamaturefes bayam. If I have a boat that is capsized in the middle of the ocean, and I happen to be one of the passengers, or I'm on shore, I'm on dry land, but I could see that the boat is in great danger and we don't know what's going to happen, and this is an immediate problem that we need to deal with right now, then says the Gemara, you can't say, you know, we're going to call a public fast day on Monday in order to take care of the problem. By then, everybody in the boat could have lost their lives. By then, the whole army that is laying siege around the city can kill everybody in the city, so we can't wait. And therefore, the Gemara says, in such a case, we would even offer special tefillos and special bakashos on Shabbos itself. However, the Gemara then qualifies that and says, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion, la'azara avalolit sa'aka. He says that you would be allowed to cry out, but crying out only means you're allowed to cry out for somebody to come and help you. But you would not be allowed to cry out in a form of tefillah, because after all, it's Shabbos. The way Rashi explains it is very interesting. Rashi there writes, why would Rav Yossi not allow us to cry out? Now, I would have said the reason why is because you're not allowed to offer a special tefillah or bakasha on Shabbos. We're going to see in a few minutes why this is the case. But Rashi there writes, I'll tell you why. Because you think your tefillah is so powerful? You think your tefillah is so potent? Who are you already? You're nothing. You're a nobody. So you offer a tefillah on Shabbos, you think it's actually going to change anything? It's a little bit disheartening. Rashi's perspective is a little disheartening to me. But that's what Rashi says. What are you going to offer a tefillah and kill your whole Shabbos and cry about it on Shabbos because you think your tefillah is going to be so effective? Therefore, Rashi says, that is why Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that you are not allowed to offer tefillos on Shabbos itself. Either way, there's a dispute in the Gemara. When you have an immediate issue that befalls a city, that befalls a community, are you allowed to offer a special tefillah on Shabbos for that? Tanakama, the first opinion, says, yes, because we can't wait till Monday. And Rabbi Yossi says, it would seem not to be appropriate to offer a tefillah like that on Shabbos. How do we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch quotes this. And by the way, there's no other Gemara that talks about this explicitly. The Gemara doesn't say anywhere that you're not allowed to offer a tefillah on Shabbos. That is not mentioned anywhere. The only place we know it from is this one source, where it's a backhanded source, where the Gemara basically has a discussion about whether we would be allowed to offer a tefillah in this circumstance, would we to be confronted with it on Shabbos. So this is the source. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes, says the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Hilchos Tainus. So he writes that, Kol ir sheyesh batzara mikol elu. If you have a city that has some kind of major problem, major concern, osa ha'ir misana, that city should fast, because that is a way to be ma'or rachamim. V'zoakim b'tfilo, mischananu masriyim b'shofar, and they'll blow shofar, as the Gemara describes, at shetavar ha'tzara. So they keep fasting, and they keep blowing shofar, and they keep davening until the tzara goes away. V'chol svivo se'am misanos ha'velo masriyos, and the neighboring towns that are not directly affected by it, but have some kind of relationship with that city, so they should also offer some kind of tfilo, they don't blow shofar, fine. Mikol makom, ein misanim v'lo zoakim v'lo masriyim b'shabas v'yamtiv al shum tzara. Says the Shulchan Aruch, when it comes to Shabbos, that would not be an appropriate time to cry about any of these things or offer a tefillah, except mitzaras hamazonos shezokim aleihem b'Shabbos. Except if you have a problem that there's no food to eat, that everyone's starving in the town, then we offer that tefillah on Shabbos itself because we need to eat today. But outside of that, says the Shulchan Aruch, it is not appropriate to offer different kinds of tefillos on Shabbos. Now, you'll notice that during the week, we offer a tefillah every single day, three times a day, of Shmona Esrei, of Yud Ches, of 18 brachos. And whereas on Shabbos, it's a very different formulation. You ever wondered why? How come on Shabbos we have much fewer brachos and a different formulation of tefillah than we have during the week? So what is the reason for that? It's actually a very good question. If you look in the Gemara gives one reason. If you look in the Medrash gives a totally different reason. So let's see. The Gemara tells us, let's listen. Says the Medrash in the Tanchuma. This is in Parshas Vayera. Atamotzei Shmona Esrei Mispalalim B'chol Yom. We all know that every day of the week we offer a Shmona Esrei of 18 brachos. Ve'einan kulan l'shivcha shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not every one of the brachos is offering a praise to the Ribono Shel Olam. Right? We know that. In the middle of the Shmona Esrei, we're asking for things that are personal bakashas. They are not praising the Ribono Shel Olam. They are just asking for whatever it is that we need. Okay. Says the Gemara, Lefikach, Ein Mispalalim B'Shabbos Shmona Esrei. Since in the middle of the Shmona Esrei, we ask for all of these personal issues that we have, therefore, on Shabbos, we do not offer the regular Shmona Esrei as we know it. Why? Shim Yielo Chola B'Soth Beiso. What's going to happen? If I have somebody who's deathly sick in my house, Rachmana Litzlan, Nizkar Barofei Chola Yama Yisroel V'Hu Meitzar. So I go to shul on Shabbos, and I'm going to offer the regular Shmona Esrei that I say every other day of the week, and I'm going to remember when I get to the Bracha B'Rafayinu, that there's somebody who's dying in my house. And I'm going to start offering a tefillah, and I'm going to start crying, and it's going to be painful on Shabbos. Therefore, says the Medrash Tanchuma, does it make sense that on Shabbos I should cry? Even though I have something very sad going on at home, we don't want to be reminded of it on Shabbos, and therefore, Chazal decided that on Shabbos, we should not say the regular Shmona Esrei because it's going to make us feel sad. Similarly, let's say a person doesn't have Parnassa. So on Shabbos, are they going to think about it? Are they not going to think about it? Maybe yes, maybe no. But if they're going to daven Shmona Esrei, then when they get to the Bracha Baruch Aleinu, of course they're going to think about it. And they're going to begin to cry. What's going to be with my family? I don't have a parnasa. And therefore, because of that concern, Chazal said, we are going to lift the regular obligation of Shmona Esrei, and we are going to limit it to a smaller, to a shorter version of Shmona Esrei than what we do say on a normal day. That's what Chazal say. Now, by the way, the assumption of the Medrash is, maybe if someone could just close the door, the assumption of the Medrash is that when you say a bracha on Shmona Esrei, of course, you're going to be so sincere as you say it, that you're going to have the feeling that I need to cry when I say Baruch Aleinu, and I need to cry when I say Rafa'enu. There's no other way about it. What else am I going to do? Is somebody sick in the house and you're just going to say Baruch Aleinu like you would say it any other day? Of course not. Of course, Baruch Aleinu and Rafa'enu and all of the brachos are things that we're going to take very seriously, and it's going to lead a person to cry. Challenge yourself. Don't say now. Challenge yourself and ask yourself, when was the last time you cried in any bracha of Shmona Esrei, even when somebody was sick in your house, and even when somebody you know needed a shidduch, and even when somebody that you're very close with needs a parnasa, did you actually cry in Shmona Esrei? Shulchan Aruch takes it as a davar pashut. Chazal say, of course, it's obvious that everybody would cry if they have a real personal need. Of course. And that's why on Shabbos, we do not say the regular Shmoneh Esrei. Okay. That's what the Medrash says in terms of davening Shmoneh Esrei on Shabbos. And the Yerushalmi writes the same idea. You know that we say Havdalah in the Shmoneh Esrei as well as Al Hakos. Now the Gemara says, what is the origin of that? Why do we say Havdalah twice? Why do we say Atachon Antana, which in essence is Havdalah, and then we say it again when we come home? What's that all about? So the Gemara tells us how this evolved. The Gemara tells us how it happened. It started that it was instituted Al Hakos. Why do we say anything Al Hakos? How come when you come to a wedding, we say Borei Pi Hagafen? What does Borei Pi Hagafen have to do with anything? Why, when you go to a bris and a pidyon aben, why do we make a Borei Pi Hagafen? It's a good question. So the answer, the Gemara says, is because when you take a cup of wine, it elevates everything else that I'm doing. It makes it extra special. So we throw in a Borei Pi Hagafen to everything, and we assume that that's going to elevate whatever it is that we're doing. Okay, so when you say Havdalah, it would make sense that it should be Al Hakos, because that will elevate the mitzvah of Havdalah. Then the Gemara says it came to a period of time when people didn't have enough money and they weren't able to afford wine. So they said, you know what? We don't want people not to say Havdalah, so we're going to institute Havdalah in the Shmoneh Esrei. Everybody can afford to say the Shmoneh Esrei. You don't have to be wealthy to do that. So therefore the Gemara says they changed the nature of Havdalah from being something that is said on a cup of wine to being something that is recited in the Tefillah. Then the Gemara says, Chazru v'he'eshiru. Then everyone got rich again, and then they were able to afford wine. So what are we going to do? Every generation, we're going to flip back and forth, whether you're going to say Havdalah on a cup of wine or you're going to say Havdalah in the Shmoneh Esrei. It doesn't make sense. Says the Gemara, they decided, bottom line is, everybody should say Shmoneh Esrei in the Tefillah, and you should recite Shmoneh Esrei, you should recite Havdalah once again when you come home, Al Hakos. Okay, that's what we do. Now, you ever think about it? We say Havdalah in the Shmoneh Esrei. Which bracha do we say it in? Ata Chanon Tana. Why do we put it into Ata Chanon Tana? What does this have to do with Ata Chanon Tana? We're talking about Havdalah. Hamavdu Mekodesh Lechol. Maybe we should say it in, Kol Yerushalayim Ircha. When you're talking about the Kedusha of Yerushalayim versus everywhere else. So we talk about the Kedusha of the week and Shabbos. I don't know. Maybe it could be somewhere else in the Shmoneh Esrei, but why is it in Ata Chanon Tana? So the simple answer that the Gemara gives is because Im Ein Das Havdalah Minayin. The Gemara says, what is Havdalah all about? Havdalah is saying we recognize the fact that we have the ability to discern Ben Kodesh Lechol, Ben Or Lechoshev, Ben Yisrael La'amin. These are very nuanced details of life. Not everybody is able to see the difference between Kedusha and non-Kedusha. Right? The Pasuk says by Avraham Avinu, when he was going to the Akedah, Vayaras HaMakom Erachok, and he sees that there's some Kedusha in the distance. And he turns to Eliezer and Yishmael and he says, do you see what I see? And what do they say? No. They were not able to pick up on what he saw and what he felt. Not everybody has the ability to understand the difference between Kedusha and Chol, between Kodesh and Chol. And therefore, it requires a certain level of Das. It requires a certain mindset. An animal certainly can't tell the difference. An animal doesn't have the sense of understanding that we have, how to make choices that are smart choices, how to make wise decisions in life. An animal doesn't have the ability to do that. A human being can do that. And therefore the Gemara says, we first thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Das. Once I have Das, once I have a mind, once I have a brain, once I have the ability to make decisions, to make choices in life, then I could say, what am I making choices about? The choices I'm making in life are, am I going to live a life of Kodesh or Chol? Am I going to live a life of Yisrael La'amim? Am I going to look around and live life differently and make choices the way I'm supposed to make choices as a practicing Jew? So that's why we say Havdalah in the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. That's what Chazal tell us. However, the Yerushalmi has an opposing view. Why is it that we say Havdalah in Ata Chanon Tana? You know why? Says the Yerushalmi. The reason why is because Havdalah, we're making a request. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chaneinu Me'itcha, right? Help us out. Now, when we say the request in Havdalah, you're not allowed to make requests on Shabbos. Once you say Ata Chonein, you're making requests. The only way you're allowed to make the first request in Shmoneh Esrei is if you say Havdalah. Now that's going to be the demarcation between Shabbos and Chol. When it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to offer tefillos. When it's Chol, you're allowed to go back, revert back to the original halacha, which is you can offer a tefillah during the week, as we say Shmoneh Esrei all the time. So what is the allowance? What is the matir to allow a person to say Havdalah, I'm sorry, to say Shmona Esrei on Matzari Shabbos, what allows me to do that is when I recite Havdalah. Therefore, Havdalah has to be said in the very first bracha of the Shmona Esrei. Okay, does that make sense? Clear? Not so clear? Getting some faces that are not so clear on what I'm saying. Clear. Okay, so that's what the Yerushalmi says. Sounds good? So far, so good. We have a medrash that tells us the reason why we don't daven Shmona Esrei on Shabbos is because it's going to make a person feel tsar. It's going to make them cry. We don't want anyone to do that. And that is the same reason the Yerushalmi says that we don't offer that we say Atachon Antanu in the very first bracha of the Shmona Esrei when we start the Bakashas Tzarachim after Shabbos. Okay, now we move further on to the Bavli. And what's strange about it is the Gemara in Maseches Brachos tells us that the reason why we don't recite the Shmona Esrei on Shabbos has nothing at all to do with crying in the Shmona Esrei. It's not connected to that at all. Rather, says the Gemara, Lo atrachuhu rabbana, which is a fascinating statement. Chazal say that they didn't want to trouble a person too much. And it's a big tircha. To daven Shmona Esrei takes a long time. I don't know where any of you daven. I can count, I think, on my two hands how many times in the last 9 years since I've been in my shul that I've been able to say Kedusha with the Chazaras Hashatz. Somehow everybody went to better schools than I did. They know how to read Hebrew much faster than I do. It takes me longer to say the Shmona Esrei. So if it takes you a few minutes to say Shmona Esrei, says the Gemara, it's a tircha. It takes a while. And therefore the problem is, on Shabbos, Chazal didn't want to be matriach us too much. So therefore they said, we're going to shorten the Shmona Esrei so that it won't be too much of a bother for you. Now again, that's contrary to what the Yerushalmi says. The Yerushalmi and the Medrash say the reason why we don't say Shmona Esrei on Shabbos is for an entirely different reason, because we don't want people to cry and become too emotional. But be it as it may, this is what the Bavli says, and that is why the Bavli writes the following. The Bavli says that let's say you have a person who on Shabbos is not paying attention, not looking in the Siddur, or they turn to the wrong page. They turn to Mincha for the weekday instead of Mincha for Shabbos. And they start reciting the weekday Shmona Esrei. So what's the halacha? What do you do? Nobody knows. Never happened to you. Wow. Ve'amech kulam tzadikim. So you all pay a very close attention. So what happens if there were to be someone, maybe your husbands will have this problem. They're not as cognizant, they're not as aware. So what happens if somebody davens a weekday Shmona Esrei on Shabbos and then they realize in the middle of Baruch Aleinu, I'm a few brachos in, usually they realize at what point, do you know? No, slach lanu. You bend down, you start hitting, and you're like, hey, you know, that finally like shocks you back into reality when you hit your chest and you say, hey, I'm Shabbos, I'm not supposed to do this, and you get funny looks from other people. So that's when you start realizing, oh, there's a mistake. So what do? I'm in the middle of slach lanu, and now I realize I'm doing the wrong thing. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you should stop after the bracha of slach lanu, finish it off, and then you move over to the Shmona Esrei of Shabbos. Continue from the middle parts of the Shmona Esrei of Shabbos. Why do you finish off the bracha of slach lanu? You're not supposed to say it on Shabbos. We don't say Shmona Esrei on Shabbos. It would be a bracha levatela, but everything's a bracha levatela. So why not? Why make another bracha levatela by finishing off the bracha? I should say stop right now. You would have been correct if we would say stop now. That would be right. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says finish off the bracha you're in the middle of and then go further. Why? The answer is, explains the Gemara, because really on Shabbos you're supposed to daven Shmona Esrei as well. Really, you're obligated to daven Shmona Esrei. Just we said, we don't want to be matriarchy too much. Okay, you already messed up, so at least finish off the bracha. Don't leave it hanging, because you're really supposed to say that bracha. You already made a mistake. Okay, so finish it off, and then move to the Shabbos Shmona Esrei. That's the halacha. That's where it comes from. Very interesting, yeah. If you're in the middle of any bracha, you finish it off. If you start atachonein, you finish off atachonein, and then you switch over. Then you make the transition. Yes, correct. Good point. But let's contrast that with something else. Let's say a person on Shabbos is in the middle of davening, and instead of davening musaf, they turn to ne'ilah, right? They say a tefillah that has nothing to do with now. We would say, stop immediately whatever you're doing and get back to where you're supposed to be. This is not something that is appropriate to be saying now. However, this is the only unusual case where we would say, continue what you're doing, and then switch over. And the reason being, because really we believe that Shmona Esrei is supposed to be recited on Shabbos. The only reason we don't is because either lo atruchu rabbanan, or because they don't want a person to cry, and therefore we assume if you started, you should finish that bracha. Yeah. We all have needs. Everybody has needs, you know. So we're all mechuyev. Okay, so let's continue. You know, it reminds me, the Gemara asks in Maseches Brachos, when it goes through all of the different halachas of Tefillah and Shemona Esrei and Kriya Shema, so the Gemara there asks a question at some point on Adamud Beis, I forgot which daf, the Gemara has a question, what would you say is a woman obligated to daven every day? So I would have said it's a classic mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. This is a time-bound mitzvah. Normally women are not obligated in time-bound mitzvahs, by the way. All those who were in my class last year cannot answer this, but how many mitzvah saseh shehazman grama are there that women do not have an obligation to do? I think if you ask the average person, they would say like 100. There really are. There are like 6 or 7 in question. That's the whole discussion about mitzvah saseh shehazman grama is very few. I think the Rambam writes there are more exceptions to the rule than the rule itself. There are more times when a woman is obligated to do something that is a time-bound mitzvah than the times that she's not obligated to do it. So anyway, the rule is what it is, and the Gemara wants to know whether a woman has an obligation to daven every day. Says the Gemara, well, let's think about it. What is the objective of tefillah? Why do we daven? Says the Gemara, because it's bakashas rachamin. Tefillah rachameinenu. Tefillah is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of our needs, says the Gemara. Do you think a woman doesn't have needs? A woman has needs like a man has needs. Everybody has needs. And therefore the Gemara says, why would you say that even though it's a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, how would you take away the opportunity for a woman to present her needs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say that she's not obligated to do it? It doesn't make sense. It's unfathomable. And therefore the Gemara comes to the conclusion that a woman is mechuyevus in tefillah as well. So it reminds me of your question a little bit. Okay. So let's get back into it. What is the reason why you're not allowed to offer bakashas on Shabbos? The reason generally is said because we're concerned that maybe you're going to have tzar, you're going to cry, and you're going to be upset, you're going to be distressed, and therefore you don't do it, which is similar to the Gemara Maseches Shabbos. There's a Gemara Maseches Shabbos, Yud Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara talks about whether I'm allowed to do the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim or Bikur Cholim on Shabbos. Interesting question. So the Gemara says as follows, Ein Menachemim Avelim Ve'ein mevakrim cholim b'shabbos. Divrei Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel disagrees. Now, what is the reason for Beis Shammai? Why does Beis Shammai say you're not allowed to be mevakr chol on Shabbos? Explains Rashi. The reason why is because the concern is when I'm going to be mevakr chol, I'm going to be so distraught, I'm going to be so upset when I see the person who's sick, I'm not going to know how to respond. I'm going to cry. And it's going to make me so upset, it's going to ruin my whole Shabbos. Halavai, we were so sensitive that when we went to be Mevakra Chol and we saw somebody who's sick, it ruined our whole Shabbos. That would be a very holy kind of person. But that's the way it's supposed to be. That when you see somebody who's sitting Shiva, or you see somebody who's in a terrible state of health, we should feel so upset about it that it should ruin our Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Beis Shammai says, therefore you can't be Mevakra Chol on Shabbos. Beis Hillel says, come on, what's the Chola going to do? On Shabbos no one's going to go visit them? The person who's in Avel on Shabbos, their friend shouldn't come over and help them? Of course you go. Beis Hillel says, of course you go. Okay. The Gemara there continues and says, if you hold like Beis Hillel, that you're allowed to be Mevakar Chola on Shabbos, which again is a dispute, but let's say you hold like that, says the Gemara you should say, Shabbos himelizok rufura krova lavo. What does that mean? What does that mean? So the Rishonim explain what it means is, you're not allowed to be Mevakish Rachamim on Shabbos. You're not allowed to offer a tefillah for the chola on Shabbos. So you can go visit. But if you're going to offer a tefillah, then you're going to start crying. And therefore, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to. And that's why the Gemara says, Bekoshi hitiru l'nachem aveilim l'vakar chola b'Shabbos. If you are the close friend of the chola, or you're the close friend of the person sitting Shiva, then go visit them on Shabbos. But if you're not a close friend, and you just decide, well, Shabbos is a much more convenient time for me to visit someone than during the week. I am much busier during the week. I don't want to take off time during the week to go. Says the Gemara, Bekoshi Hitiru. We don't encourage people to use their Shabbos to go and be Mevakar Chola. Of course, if the person needs support, you go. And if you're a close friend, you should be there. But if you're anybody else, it's not appropriate to do that because it's not a time to bring sadness into our lives. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. That's what the Gemara says. Now, we move on to the next issue. Tosas and Maseches Brachos, again, all connected, but Tosas and Maseches Brachos quotes that there was some Rishonim who said that although on Shabbos you have to eat three meals and you have to bench Birchas HaMazon on Shabbos, but you obviously are going to leave out a part of the Birchas HaMazon on Shabbos from what you say during the week. Which part should you leave out? Harachaman is not really part of Birchas HaMazon as we know it. The Gemara says Birchas HaMazon is made up of four brachas. What are the four brachas? Birchas HaZon is the first bracha, says the Gemara, was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu got the man, and the Jewish people were enjoying their experience of the man, Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the bracha of HaZon. The second bracha is Birchas HaOretz. It's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the land of Eretz Yisrael. That was instituted by Yoshua ben Nun. Third bracha is Rachim. David and Shlomo originally made the third bracha when they had the opportunity to come back to Yerushalayim and build the Beis HaMikdash. Then it was changed later on to be Rachim. Now that we don't have Beis HaMikdash anymore, we ask Hashem to bring the Beis HaMikdash back. But originally it was thanking Hashem, not just for Eretz Yisrael like Yoshua ben Nun, but thanking Hashem for Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. And the fourth bracha is HaTova HaMeitiv, which is B'yavna Teknua. That was because after the Haruge Beitar were Nitnu L'Kvura, a long story not for now, but those are the four brachas. That's the main part of Birchas HaMazon. That's what we need to know. Okay, which of those four brachos did some Rishonim say we should leave out on Shabbos? No, Harachaman, we're not talking about. Let's leave Harachaman out for now. We'll get to Rachim. Why Rachim?
Because we're asking for the Mikdash.
Amazing. So Tosas quotes some Rishonim. I think it's the riff that he quotes. I don't remember offhand. But Tosas quotes that no, you should shorten the benching on Shabbos. You should leave out the whole paragraph of Rachim on Shabbos. This Tosas can be found in Brachos on Daf Memches Amud Beis. Why should we leave out that whole paragraph of the benching on Shabbos? What's that all about? Isn't that a major part? It was instituted by David and Shlomo. Why should we leave it out? The answer is because the concern is that maybe it's Bakasha Sarachim. You're not allowed to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things on Shabbos, as we said before. That's why we don't daven Shmona Esrei, says the Yerushalmi. I'm sorry, says the Medrash, that's why we don't do Bikur Cholim on Shabbos, because we're not allowed to offer tefillos for certain things on Shabbos. That's why the Gemara says in Tainis that you're not allowed to be Gozer Tainis on a Shabbos. You're not allowed to have everybody fast and daven on Shabbos, because Shabbos is not the appropriate time for that. It's going to make people sad. So Tosas said, if we're going to talk about Rachim, that it's going to make us sad. It's Bakasha Sarachim. And that's why some Rishonim said that we don't say Rachim on Shabbos. It reminds me, by the way, when was the last time you cried when you said Rachim? It's amazing. You know that the Shulchan Aruch says when you bench, I'm sorry, I'm going on all over the place here, but the Shulchan Aruch says somewhere else that when you bench, you have to cover over, you have to take away from the table all of the knives. Anyone familiar with that halacha? Why do you have to take away the knives? There was one time, there was a story where somebody was so distraught when he said the bracha of Rachim of Bnei Yerushalayim, he was crying so heavily that he didn't have a Beis HaMikdash, he stabbed himself with a knife on the table, and he died. Because of that, says the Shulchan Aruch, we have to make sure before benching, we remove all the knives from the table to make sure that no one's ever going to have the same problem. Amazing. Halavai, we would have people that would think of doing such a thing. I mean, nobody should ever think of stabbing themselves, but somebody who would take Yerushalayim so seriously and the lack of the Beis HaMikdash that he's willing to stab himself because he's so distraught, it's amazing. It gives you a perspective of how little kavana we have when we bench. Just that's the way I see it. And what we should strive for, what we should think about. So, Tosas writes that there were some Rishonim who said that you do not say the bracha of Rachim on Shabbos. I don't know about all of you. The practice, the custom in my home and in every other home that I've ever been to is that when we bench on Shabbos, we bench normally. And we leave everything in the bencher and we don't take out any paragraphs. So why is that? What is that all about? How do you explain it? The reason why, Tosas says, is because this is what we refer to as Tofes Brachos. Tofes Brachos means this is the standard text. If something is a standard text, then you're allowed to say it on Shabbos. The only time the Gemara says in Tainis that you're not supposed to add extra tefillos when there's a terrible thing going on in the community is something that you're adding only because of the terrible thing. And that's going to make you very sad. Or if you have a chole b'soch beso, to offer a tefillah on Shabbos is something that's going to make me very upset. That's not the standard. But when I have something that is part of the standard, Tosas writes, this is why we leave in this part of the bracha, because we have no reason to be concerned. What about Harachaman? As you mentioned very correctly, what's with Harachaman? It's not really part of the standard text. Harachaman is something that came along much later on in history. So what do you do about that? Mishnah Berurah writes, you're allowed to say Harachaman's on Shabbos. Again, many families do not. The Vilna Gaon said you shouldn't. But the Mishnah Berurah says not a problem. Why is it not a problem? So he says, Kiven shenagu hakol amram. Since everybody says harachamans, nasa lahem ketofis brachos. That's the same as the standard text of the Birchas Hamazon itself. It says if Birchas Hamazon has one extra page because everybody says harachamans. Now, what is the reason why when you have a tofes bracha, it's not a problem? It makes a lot of sense. As we said, because the only time there's a problem of somebody being so depressed or so upset or so distraught is when I'm offering an extra tefillah because of a situation that's going on right now. But if I'm just saying the standard text that's in the sitter, that's in the bencher, that's in the machzer, you don't have to be concerned that maybe you're going to start crying because you're just saying the normal thing. And therefore, Tosfos says that's why it wouldn't be a problem. The Aruch HaShulchan has an amazing comment. Writes the Aruch HaShulchan, it's in Siman Taf Yud Zayin. Why is it in Siman Taf Yud Zayin, even though it's about Shabbos and benching? What's Siman Taf Yud Zayin? Anybody knows? Okay, it doesn't matter. Siman Taf Yud Zayin is where the Aruch HaShulchan raises the following issue. How is it mutter to say on Shabbos Mevorchim? What do we say on Shabbos Mevorchim? A Yihi Ratzon, an extra paragraph that we add. Any Sfardim in the room? Yeah, so the Sfardim, I think, leave it out. Correct? When you have Shabbos Mevarchim, the week before Rosh Chodesh, do you say anything special in Shul? The Sfardim, I think, leave out this paragraph. But Ashkenazim, generally, many of the Ashkenazi communities, have the custom to say what's referred to as Tfilas Rav, which means we ask, Chaim Shalosh Rebechavod, Chaim Shatei Banu Avas Torah V'Yerushalmayim, Chaim Sheimalim Mishalos Libenu, all of these things. So why are we allowed to ask that at Shabbos? You're not allowed to offer a tefillah on Shabbos. How do you understand that? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, and this is amazing. Aruch HaShulchan writes, Nireh, I love when some Achronim do this, Nireh Shahamad Fisim Ta'u Bazeh. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, it's a printing error. The whole thing doesn't belong in the sitter. Nobody told the printers to put it in, and the whole thing is a mistake. That's an amazing statement to make. Every single Ashkenaz sitter has it. Not every single one, but most of the Ashkenazi communities have it. And the Aruch HaShulchan stands up and says, this is a mistake. It's a printing error. They put it in a place where they shouldn't have. And of course, we're not supposed to say it on Shabbos. And he says, Iayasher chele avatline. He says, if I had the courage, I would stand up and get rid of it because I think it's a mistake. But what can I do? I'm not going to stand up against the whole world, so we're going to leave it as it is, but I think it's wrong. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes, and I find that to be an amazing statement. The Ramah says, we say Yikum Purkan Min Shemaya on Shabbos. What is that? What is Yikum Purkan? What?
Like a request for
Torah scholars. Yeah, it's a request. So what are we asking for? We're asking for all kinds of things. Says the Ramah, Yikum Purkan is allowed to be said on Shabbos. Ve'ein bazeh mishum iser chinah b'Shabbos. The Ramah doesn't explain why, but he says there would be no problem with saying Yikum Purkan on Shabbos. Why not? Why not? So the later Achronim, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, I believe, writes that the reason why is because this is not a bakasha, this is a bracha. We're giving a blessing to those people who are mentioned in Yikum Purkan. It's not a bakasha. There's no reason why you shouldn't be allowed to say that. And that is also why, it's the same reason why we give a Mishaberach to someone who gets an aliyah by the Sefer Torah. Because we are not offering a tefillah, we are offering a bracha. And the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes that there's a difference between a tchina, a bakasha, a plea, and a bracha, that you're wishing someone well. That's the way he explains it, very interestingly. The Magen Avram actually asks, he doesn't understand, how do we make a public Mishaberach for Cholim and Shul on Shabbos? How do we do that? What is that about? How are you allowed to do that? That's exactly what the Gemara seems to say is not allowed. And yet, every shul you go to, in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, is going to make an announcement that they want to make a Mishaberach for Cholim. So how do you do that? The Magen Avraham has major trouble with it, and he tries to figure out what it's about. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, in the name of the Ma'ari Bei Rav. Anyone ever went to Tzfat for Shabbos? You went to the Bei Rav Shul? Bei Rav Shul? No? Heard of it? So the Bei Rav Shul is named after the Ma'ari Bei Rav, who was the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef writes, what's the reason, what's the rationale, how are we allowed to offer a public tefillah for the Cholim on Shabbos? Says the Bei Rav, the answer is because we assume that the only time the Gemara says it's a problem is when you're b'fnei ha-chole. When I'm in front of the chole and I offer a tefillah, I'm going to get so distraught about what's happening in front of me that I'm not going to be able to have a good Shabbos as a result of that experience. However, if I'm in shul and I'm just giving it a name to daven for a chole, you don't have the same kind of emotion, you're not going to be so upset. And therefore, he writes, that is why it would be permissible. By the way, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Bikur Cholim, which is in Yerodea, he quotes, I believe, from the Ramban in the Torah Sa'adam, that the Ramban says, if a person is Mevaker Cholim during the week or on Shabbos, whenever you go, if somebody is Mevaker Cholim, velo bikesh alav rachamim, and you don't offer a tefillah on behalf of the Cholim's recovery, you are not Mekayim the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Amazing. So you go to a Cholim, and you bring them food, and you cheer them up, and you talk to them, and you change the beds, and you sweep the floor, and you do everything that the Chola needs. And you walk out, says the Ramban, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah Bikur Chola, because you didn't offer a tefillah before you left. An integral part of the mitzvah Bikur Cholim is that we have to understand we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement to get the Chola better. And of course, we need to change the linens, and we need to bring food, and we need to talk to them, we need to lift their spirits. All of that is important, and don't minimize it. But one of the major parts of Bikur Cholim also has to be that we offer a tefillah on behalf of the Chola, because we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to intervene and give them a refuah shlema, which is just a really amazing comment. You'll notice that when we have Yom Tif, when we take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron Kodesh, we offer a special tefillah. We say the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim. And after we say the Yud Gimel Midos, we say Ribono Shel Olam, a whole paragraph. When you have Yom Tif falls out on Shabbos, the halacha is that we leave out that paragraph. Why? Because you're not supposed to add extra bakashas on Shabbos. So when you have Yom Tif colliding with Shabbos, you leave that out. Okay, now we come, after that very brief introduction, we now come to a discussion about Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos. What do you do with Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos as far as Avinu Malkeinu is concerned? This is a question that is raised by the Ran. And the Ran says that when you have Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos, he is of the opinion, Avinu Malkeinu is not something that should be recited, even though you're supposed to say it on Rosh Hashanah and Aseret Yemei Teshuvah and on Yom Kippur. However, he says if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we would not recite Avinu Malkeinu on that day of Rosh Hashanah, because that would be an inappropriate way of davening on Shabbos. That's adding bakashas that you're not supposed to say on Shabbos. Okay. Now that's very sad, because Avinu Malkeinu was such a centerpiece of the davening. It's so important. People get very emotional. People get very into it, as they should. And you're going to leave it out. I would say you leave out Tkiyah Shofar on Shabbos. It's also something very lacking in the davening. But this, says the Ran, is something that he feels we should absolutely not include on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos, because it would be going against the general rule, which is that you're not allowed to offer tefillos and bakashos on Shabbos. The other Rishonim disagree with the Ran. The Meiri is of the opinion that the whole premise is off. Why? He says, because if you're going to say that you're not allowed to say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos, then you shouldn't be allowed to say it on Yom Tov either. Why? Because we have a mitzvah of Simcha on Yom Tov. You're supposed to be happy on Yom Tov, and you're supposed to be happy on Shabbos. So what are you going to tell me? If Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Tuesday and Wednesday, then you say Avinu Malkeinu, no problem. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Shabbos, all of a sudden we leave it out because we have to be in a state of Simcha on Shabbos. What do you mean a state of Simcha on Shabbos? You have to be in a state of Simcha on Yom Tov also. So if we have no problem saying this on Rosh Hashanah that falls on Tuesday, we shouldn't have a problem saying it on Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos either. And therefore the Meiri disagrees with the whole premise of what the Ran suggests here. And he says, even though the Ran says we shouldn't say it on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos, I don't agree with him. And of course we're going to follow the regular machzor. Whatever day of the week it is, we're going to say everything as it is printed in the machzor. Okay? That's the opinion of the Meiri. The Tur brings down both opinions. And he says there were some Rishonim who said we should skip Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos. There were other Rishonim who said we should say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos. And what is the rationale for those who say that you're allowed to say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos? The Meiri writes the reason why is because if you say it during Rosh Hashanah on a Tuesday, you should say it on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. But the Meiri's right. The Meiri's right. So what is the allowance to say Avinu Malkeinu ever? Why should you be allowed to say it? Whether it's on a Tuesday or a Shabbos, why should you ever be allowed to say it, Avinu Malkeinu, on a Yom Tov or a Shabbos? The answer, explains the Tur, is because Kivan de Ba'aseres Yimei Teshuva HaTfila Nishmas Yoser Mi B'Yamim Acherim. The Beis Yosef writes, since it's understood that this is an auspicious time, Dirshu Hashem B'Himatzo, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is a very special time, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to us than He is during the rest of the year. And our tefillos are more accepted than they are at any other time in the year. And therefore, he says, since the tefillah is going to be accepted more at this time of year than at another time of year, therefore he says, "Ein lechadavar nachutz yoser mizeh." This is an emergency. The same way the Gemara says, if I have a city that doesn't have a mizonos to eat, the Shulchan Aruch says, you're not supposed to offer tefillos on Shabbos, but if a city doesn't have food, then you offer a special tefillah on Shabbos. Why? Because that's urgent. That needs to be done immediately. We can't wait till Monday. We're going to die by Monday. We're going to starve. The same goes, says the Gemara. If you have a group of people that were capsized on a boat, so what do? You offer a tefillah on Shabbos. Aye, but you're not allowed to offer a tefillah on Shabbos. The answer is, it's an emergency. What am I going to do? Of course I have to offer a tefillah on Shabbos. Says the tour, davening Avinu Malkeinu on Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Yom HaKippurim is an emergency. The Ribono Shel Olam is here now. If I leave out Avinu Malkeinu, I'm missing the opportunity. And therefore he says, anything that's urgent, anything that's an emergency, we're going to leave in. Because we have to do it right now. And the same way the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to say a tefillah on Shabbos for mizonos when you need food, and you're allowed to do it if the boat capsized at sea, and you're allowed to do it for a city that's undergoing some kind of urgent problem, so too you're allowed to say Avinu Malkeinu for the urgent problem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being here now and I cannot waste time. Again, gives you a perspective of what Aseres Yemei Tshuva is supposed to look like. What should we spend our time doing during Aseres Yemei Tshuva? If we're willing to go so far as to say we're even willing to consider saying Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos because this is an urgent time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, don't waste it, then certainly don't waste it doing other things. That's why the Brisker Rav said, Brisker Rav used to walk around with the Tehillim the whole day of Rosh Hashanah. From the moment davening was over, he said, you know how many schusim you can get? What are you going to do Rosh Hashanah? What are you going to do? You can sit down and learn Maseches Rosh Hashanah, you can sit down and do whatever you want, you can read Psukim and Chumash, but the bottom line is, says the Brisker Rav, if you just take out a Tehillim and you keep saying the words of Tehillim, he says, number one, it's a tefillah, it's a bakasha, but besides for that, says the Brisker Rav, every pasuk is a mitzvah. Every single one is its own thing. Don't waste time. Use every moment wisely. Understand this is a time of Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo. And that is why there were those who said that we should even recite Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos. What is the bottom line halacha as we find it today? The bottom line of the halacha is, says the Ramah, that we do not say Avinu Malkeinu on Rosh Hashanah when it falls out on Shabbos. What is the reason? Explains the Magen Avraham. The reason why is because you're not supposed to ask Bakashas Terechem on Shabbos. And we assume, yes, it's true, this time of the year is urgent, but you have 9 other days at this time of the year to ask for whatever it is that you need. And we're assuming that you're not going to spend every moment of your time so wisely. And therefore, we have to imagine that Avinu Malkeinu is something that we should forego on Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos, even though it's hard for us to do that. It's a beautiful and meaningful tefillah, but the reason why we leave it out of our davening is because you're not supposed to be involved, engaged in Bakashas Terachim on Shabbos. Yeah.
Why is Avinu Malkeinu a question and not like
Unasana Tokev? Okay, Unasana Tokev. What do we say in Unasana Tokev? It's an emotional tefillah, but we're not really, we're just basically talking about what happens. We're saying, tshuva tefillah tzedakah, we're going through the process. Malachim yechafezun, we're just describing what's going on. We're not asking for anything. So that's why it would be a little bit different. Which leads us to a little bit of an additional question, and that is an overall question. When you come to Shul on Rosh Hashanah, what are you actually davening for? You ever notice that? This very few places in the machzor of the entire davening on Rosh Hashanah where we ask for anything. Malchiyos, Echronos, and Shofaros is basically talking about the Ribono Shel Olam. What do we ask for? Almost nothing. But what do you mean? I need a parnasa, I need a shidduch, I need shalom bayis, I need good health, I need all the different things that are going wrong in my life. I'm sorry. All the different things that are going wrong in somebody's life, so they stand up and they say, you know, where is that? How could it be the entire day of Rosh Hashanah I don't talk about any of the things that actually matter to me? I talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very nice, but I don't talk about anything personal. Where is it? A glaring omission. Glaring omission. Says the Gra, the Vilna Gaon writes, quoting from the Zohar HaKadosh, that it's inappropriate to ask for anything personal on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the day of the coronation of the king. And therefore, we should be focused on the job at hand, and that is Malchiyos, Zichronos, and Shofros, which is extolling the virtues of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, talking about how overwhelmed we are by who he is and what he represents. And that's what our tefillah should be. And that is why you will notice in the Siddur and the Machzor that there is nothing that talks about our personal needs. Nowhere do you find a bakasha for everything that we need in our own personal lives, because that's not the focus. In fact, the Zohar HaKadosh writes that it would be inappropriate for a person to offer their own bakashas. And therefore, he says, that is why you find the structure of the tefillah the way it is. Okay. However, let's be honest. Where are our heads on Rosh Hashanah? I shouldn't say our. Where's my head on Rosh Hashanah? Eschatoy ani maskir. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say it out loud. But my head is not fully engaged in Malchiyos, Sechronos, and Shofros. My head on Rosh Hashanah thinks about many of the tzaras of our community, thinks about the people who have come to me to talk about the things that are bothering them, to talk about the families that are broken apart because of whatever issue they're confronting, or the person who's having a major health issue, or this woman who's in the middle of a difficult pregnancy, or all the different things that are happening all around us. And I would venture to say that's really where all of our minds are. I saw an amazing, really an amazing pshat, a mashal. Maybe we'll close with this, but I saw an unbelievable mashal. Now we say in the end of one of the brachas in Shmona Esrei in Musaf, Ki ata shomea kol shofar, u'ma'azin shrua ve'ein dom elach. So what does it mean? You hear the blowing of our shofar, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'ma'azin shrua, and you listen carefully to when we blow all the different sounds of the shofar, ve'ein dom elach, and there is nobody who is comparable to you. What exactly does it mean, ein dom elach? How do you translate that phrase? So the simple understanding is, this is a reference to our awe, our deference to the Ribono Shel Olam. And we say, there is no entity in the world that is even remotely similar to you. That is the essence of Malchiyos, Zichronos, and Shofros. We're being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and basically what we're saying is, there is nothing like you in the world. And that is why we are excited about what we're doing in Rosh Hashanah. Because there is no entity in the world that is even close to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents. My father likes to point out, I think he says it in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, but it's Pashut, it's obvious. When the Gemara says, when the Torah says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So the Art Scroll Siddur doesn't translate it properly. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad means, hear, O you, right, whatever, however they translate it, what's the end of the sentence? God is one. That's the way they write it. It's not true. It's not God is one, it's God is unique. The Gemara says, Hashem Echad means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different. He is unique. He is a chativa ahas ba'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is entirely different from anything else in our existence that we can imagine. Hashem Echad means not that he is one. Of course, we only believe in one God, monotheism. That's obvious. We don't have to state that. Hashem Echad means the Ribono Shel Olam I'm declaring is totally different and unique from every other part of my existence, every other part of my reality. There is nothing similar to the Ribono Shel Olam's essence at all. That's what Hashem Echad means. So that's really what we mean when we say Ma'azin Shua Ve'ein Dom Elach, that as we're coronating the king, we make mention of the fact that there is nothing in the world that is similar to this entity called HaKadosh Baruch. I saw a mashal this week. They gave it a totally different spin. It's so beautiful. It's amazing. So he gives the following mashal to try to explain it. Imagine you have inauguration day in Washington, D.C. A new president, whoever the president is, Democrat, Republican, doesn't make a difference, but it's a big celebratory day. I don't know how many people come. Trump claims 50 million people showed up to his inauguration. I don't know how many people actually show up. There's millions of people there for sure. Doesn't make a difference, right? Millions of people are there. And weeks or months in advance, they're preparing for this event. And part of the preparation is figuring out exactly where everybody's going to go. So if you're just a simple American citizen who shows up, you're going to be sitting somewhere, standing somewhere, all the way in the back. You won't even see anything. And you're just going to be part of the noise. If you're a spouse of a senator or a congressman, we have a special section for you. What if you're actually a senator or congressman on your own? So then you get onto the stage. And what if you're a previous president of the United States that's no longer serving as president? Then you're going to sit right next to the podium. And what if you're the Chief Justice who's going to do the swearing in? You're going to stand on the podium. So we have all of this configuration and everyone is exactly where they're supposed to be. Imagine if right before they're about to swear in the president of the United States, some guy from all the way in the back from the section where he belongs figures out how to make his way through the crowd, slips onto the stage, walks through all the congressmen and senators, goes unnoticed, you know, blends right into the crowd. Nobody sees that he's walking around. Makes his way through the congressmen and senators, makes his way through the prior presidents and their spouses, and then stands up at the podium, grabs the microphone, and before the Chief Justice is about to do the swearing-in ceremony, he says, "I don't know what to do. Insurance is so expensive these days, and, you know, inflation is so high, I can't buy food for my children. I don't know what's going to be. I can't pay the mortgage." What would they do to him? They would arrest him immediately. There would be no rahmanas for such a person. This is true. Everything you're saying is true, but this is not the appropriate place to share it. And this is certainly not the appropriate time to be sharing it with anyone either. The venue is not appropriate. The timing is not appropriate. You don't belong here right now. You're trespassing. You're ruining the aura of the entire event that's going on around us. Nobody would tolerate that. Nobody would tolerate it. Not the president, not the prior president, not the Chief Justice, not the police. Everybody would be livid. Everybody would be upset. So we stand in shul on Rosh Hashanah. And we're supposed to spend our day at the inauguration, at the coronation ceremony. And we're supposed to be focused on one thing and one thing only. And what is that? We're supposed to be focused on Hamlachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hamelech. Hamelech HaKadosh. That's it. That's what the whole day is. And let's be honest, Lemaisa, where is your head? Perhaps not there. Your head is worrying about your shidduch, and your head is worrying about your health, and your head is worrying about your parents, and your head is worrying about your politics, and your head is worrying about your country, and is worrying about your city, and your community, and your parnasa, and what's going to be with the internship, and which camp am I going to get into, and where am I going to work, and what am I going to do, who my colleagues going to be, how much are going to get paid. All these other things that bother people are really what's swimming through their heads on Rosh Hashanah. Which means you are like that person who stands up at the coronation, who stands up at the inauguration and grabs the mic, and instead of talking about what we're supposed to be talking about, you take it to another topic. It doesn't mean that it's not on your mind. It is on your mind, but this is not the right place for it. That's what it means when we say, Ki atah shomea kol shofar umazin shrua. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who are standing here on inauguration day, when everybody's blowing the shofar, when everyone is showing that they are coronating you, Ve'ein do melech, and there's nobody similar or comparable to you. There's nobody in a position of authority who would tolerate this kind of behavior. There's nobody who would say that while the ceremony is going on, it is appropriate for anyone to be doing anything else. And yet you tolerate it. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, understand us. You know that sometimes our minds wander to other things that are bothering us, and we're not totally focused on the moment, and we're not only thinking about the things that we should be thinking about. I'm not talking about thinking about inappropriate thoughts. We're thinking about things that are just not appropriate for the day, not appropriate for the moment. That's what we mean. Ve'ein do melech. There is no authority in the world that is similar to the Ribbono shel Olam. There is nobody who would tolerate such behavior, such disrespect. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. The Ribbono shel Olam understands us. And the Ribbono shel Olam knows that on Rosh Hashanah, when of course our focus is supposed to be in one place and in one position and thinking about one thing only, and that is Hamlachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono shel Olam understands that all of us have personal needs. That all of us have things that we're going to be thinking about as well. And as inappropriate as it is on Rosh Hashanah to be thinking about it, in the end of the day, that's what many people think about. And that is why we are proud to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is one of the great virtues of the Ribbono shel Olam, that he is so humble. Ve'ein do melech, there is no authority like him that is willing to overlook, that is willing to go past, that is willing to just ignore this tremendous and outright disrespect that so many people have for the Ribbono shel Olam when they come to Shul and Rosh Hashanah. Like the Zohar HaKadosh described. You don't come to Shul and Rosh Hashanah and talk about everything else. You're supposed to talk about one thing, but we don't. We focus on other things. We think about other things as well. And that's perhaps what it means, Ve'ein do melech. So we spoke a little bit about the context of things that are going to be different on Rosh Hashanah Shecholias B'Shabbos. Of course, the most obvious difference is going to be that we don't blow shofar. Now, it says the Gemara, why do we not blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shecholias B'Shabbos? Shofar is the centerpiece, the focal point of the davening. Says the Gemara, because we're concerned, Gzeira Shema Yavirenu, Dalet Almas B'Shus HaRabbah. What does it mean? Maybe the Baal Tokeo is supposed to blow the shofar in the morning, is going to come to shul, realize he really doesn't know how to do this, run to somebody's house to teach him how to do it, and inadvertently he's going to carry his shofar outside in a place where there's no Eruv. You got to think a lot about that. First of all, who shows up to shul not knowing how to blow the shofar? You wouldn't agree to be the Baal Tokeya if you didn't know how to blow. That's first of all. My son's Rebbe mentioned this question yesterday in school, and he asked, you know, it's a strange takana. Why would Chazal say that? So he said, 1 year, he's the Baal Tokeya in shul. 1 year, he's in the middle of blowing shofar, in the middle of Musaf, and his son starts tugging at him, pushing him, and, you know, he turns to him and he's, you know, he's in the middle of Musaf, in the middle of blowing shofar, what are you disturbing me? And the son said, no, look at your shofar. He said, what's the problem? He pulls the shofar out and he sees that there's a hole in the middle of the shofar. That's a big shiloh. The Gemara says a shofar that has a hole in it depends whether it changes the sound, doesn't change the sound, whatever, a whole discussion in the Gemara. So he said, what would a person do if they're in the middle of Tkiyah shofar on Rosh Hashanah and their son points out to them that they have a hole in the shofar? You would take the shofar to the rabbi's house and you would go ask the shaila. So as well prepared as I was before Rosh Hashanah, there is a possibility that I can carry the shofar outside, not realizing what I'm doing. It is a realistic possibility. It could happen. And therefore the Gemara says, because of that concern, we say nobody's allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos, which is an amazing, amazing institution. And that is why the Gemara tells us that when you have Sukkos that coincides with Shabbos, we don't take the Dalet Minim. This is why if Purim falls out on Shabbos, we do not read the Megillah, because maybe there's a concern that somebody's going to carry the Megillah outside because they don't know how to read. And that is something that is going to be a violation of Hotzah as well. Tosis asks a question, why do we do a Bris Milah on Shabbos? You've been to a Bris Milah on Shabbos, I'm sure. So why is it that we're not concerned? Maybe someone's going to carry the tools and the instruments outside. For that matter, the Stechemed raises an issue, which is, why are we not concerned that when Pesach falls out on Shabbos, someone's going to carry the matzah and maror and the dalet kosos and run to the rabbi's house to ask, how do I make a seder? I don't really know how to do this. So again, you have many, many different variations of this question that come up by different kinds of mitzvahs throughout the year. But the bottom line is, Chazal tell us when it came to Rosh Hashanah that shofar is off the table. Rosh Hashanah shechalis b'Shabbos, shofar is off the table. Even though the shofar is considered to be something that is going to be our ticket to our tefillahs being answered, and we're willing to forgo that. Look at the Mesiras Nefesh, that we're willing to forgo that great schus of the shofar and the mitzvah of shofar in order to make sure that nobody violates the laws of Shabbos. It kind of shows us how important Shabbos is, kind of shows us how critical the malachas of Shabbos are. And even Hotzah, which as we said last week is a malacha grua, Hotzah is something that nothing really constructive happens. You just take something from place A to place B. I would say really it's not a malacha anyway, but the Torah explicitly says, you're not allowed to do the malach of Hotzah on Shabbos. So you see that how far and how seriously we take the malach of Hotzah is even to the point that we're willing to forgo Tkiyah Shofar on Shabbos. So those are the two major, major distinctions between Rosh Hashanah that falls out during the week, Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos. Number one, we're not going to be blowing Shofar, which is the most prominent difference. Number two, we're not going to be saying Avinu Malkeinu or some of the extra tefillos that we say when we take out the Sifrei Torah because of this whole discussion that we had about not wanting ourselves to be in a position where we're going to cry or be in a negative mood on Shabbos. That is the general halacha on a Shabbos throughout the year. And specifically, when you have Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos, that is why we're going to leave out the tefillah of Avinu Malkeinu, as the Ran said, because we don't want people to have the Bakashas Terachim on Shabbos itself. Okay?